Amen. Hey, thank you, team. Won't you let them know, man, they've been carrying us here the last 9 months. Let them know again you're grateful for them. And a few of them swap in and out, but a lot of them are here every week, two services and rehearsing during the week and getting ready to help us. So thank you. Praise be unto the Lord. Take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning in verse number 9 and reading through verse 22 and especially verse 21, where we will lift our thematic thought for the morning, which is come before winter. While a student at Samford University in Birmingham, I attended from time to time the Shades Mountain Baptist Church where Dr. Charles Carter was the pastor. Every fall he preached a sermon entitled Come Before Winter, taken out of this text. In my looking at it, I found that Dr. Clarence McCartney of the First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh for 40 years preached a sermon by this title out of this text, Come Before Winter. I have never preached this particular text or this title, and I'm not using their sermons, but you get the title and the text, and it gives a great bridge for us to build to start a new year. We find the text in 2 Timothy. We've been preaching through it, and we come to end today this ninth message through 2 Timothy. Come before winter. You see it in verse 21. We come to it in a moment. Paul is in the Roman jail, weeks from his death, writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy, now 2 Timothy. I'm almost at the end, Timothy. And we've been watching him exhort that young preacher in Ephesus. He comes to his concluding words today. And he says to Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I've sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, and especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, Timothy, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, also Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Notice verse 9, make every effort to come here soon. Verse 21, make every effort to come before winter. It was late summer, early fall. Paul is sending the epistle. Timothy, if you're coming, come now. Come before winter. Because when winter set in, he would have to leave Ephesus and travel west. taking a ship into the Aegean, south into the Mediterranean, and across the Mediterranean, up to Italy, to Rome, where Paul was. November, those shipping lanes would close. You could not navigate the Mediterranean in the winter, not in those days. November, December, January, February, March. For 4 to 5 months, he would not be able to make the trip. So, Timothy, if you're coming, come on, make every effort before winter. If you're coming, come soon, come now. Dear church, there are things this year that we can do. There are things that we ought to do. But there are things that if we do not do now, we will not be able to do them later. There are urgent items before us. Before winter comes, we must go. There are things to do. Urgent. Now, not later. Now is the time. And I want us to see some of those. You can use this and go 1,000 different directions. But I want to try to harvest out of this text 4 actions that we should take now that Paul was encouraging Timothy to take now. Let's see them together quickly. Then I want us all to get on our knees. Dedicate our lives this year, our church, our all, our energy unto the Lord in 2021. And say, Lord, we want to count for you and we want to do it before winter, before it's too late. What should we be about? Number one, make every effort, church, to minister to the least of these. Notice what Paul says to Timothy, when you come, verse 13, when you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus. Paul has been there in the winter before. It's going to get cold in that Roman jail. And he says, Timothy, when you come, bring my cloak. Bring something to wrap me up, to keep me warm. Winter is coming and I need it. Don't be late. Dear friend, there are hurting people all around us. There are those that have needs that we must meet, and we must meet them now. Jesus said, if you're going to do what he's called you to do, you must feed the hungry, give cold water to the thirsty. You must take in the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick, and go to the imprisoned. Oh, Lord, when did we see you like that? When you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Church, it is our charge, it is our commission that we must be salt and light. We must help more than we hinder. Have you heard that before? Christmas Eve message I gave, 12 things more than. I put them on a little card. I got them out at the welcome desk. If you go by, you can pick one up today. I encourage you, take this, put it in the front of your Bible, stick it up on the mirror somewhere. More than, count your blessings, more than your troubles, give more than you get, smile more than you frown. Think we more than me, compliment more than you criticize, laugh more than you cry, positive more than negative, accept more than you reject, help more than you hinder. Work more than you whine and love more than ever and believe more than you doubt. Go pick up that little card. We must help more than we hinder. We must be Jesus to this world. She was one of the meanest women I ever met. She was a member of this church. Much of what we do in social ministry function is at her feet. Many of you who have been here for a while know that I speak of Jean Ray. Jean was in this church when I came, a social worker. Every 6 months, she would come to my office and sit down. Pastor, we need a social worker on this campus. We need somebody to help. I said, well, I know. She said, have you ever read Matthew 25? She asked me that one time. I said, I've read the whole Bible many times. She pointed that little stubby finger at me and she said, you don't act like it. She said, you will give an account for this church for what you do and for what you did not lead us to do. That's all I have to say. And she walked out the door. She left, but the Holy Ghost did not leave. That's why we have the ministry village today. It's why we do much of what we do in social function and try to reach out to the hungry and the thirsty and the naked and the stranger and the sick and in the prison. I had a man come today in the first service. He said, Pastor, do you know me? I hate it when people do me that way. Did you hear me? I hate it when you ask me that question because I don't know and you're wearing a mask. He was a man who just got out of prison. And we've been writing back and forth together. He told me his name. I said, sure, I know you. He said, I'm here for the first time. Just got out after all these many years in jail. Is he welcome here? Yes. Sure he is. Well, you're welcome here. Amen. I mean, if the Pharisees can come, then the ex-con can come. Amen. Much of what we do is because Jean Ray pushed. Trinity Church, in 2021, we must be a blessing to this community. I found a little phrase. I got all of these New Year's. You know, everybody sends you all. They said, this year. But one of them stuck in my heart, and it said, this year, be a fountain, not a drain. I thought that's a great theme for us in 2021. Be a river of living water, not a drain. Don't be sucking the life out of everybody. Put it in. Be an encourager, not a discourager. Be a fountain, not a drain. Make every effort before winter comes to minister to the least of these. We have the ministry village. You help support it. You give money. But that does not take the place of what you're to do with people God puts in your path. You are to be Jesus to the least of these. Secondly, make every effort to read the Bible. Notice what he said in verse 13. When you come, bring the cloak. He was cold. You've been cold. You need that cloak because he's freezing. I was invited to the old school men's meeting to preach the other night at Mandalusia, Alabama. I got there. I didn't know it was really going to be in an old school. We met at an old abandoned school. No heat. And it was the coldest night of the year. They had one little heater right there. They had air conditioning. We didn't need it. Man, I preached, I ran around, I jumped up and down while I was preaching. I was trying to feel my feet. Had one of my young, who's got 12 young preachers in this church, had one of them take me. He drove me up there. Boy, he looked good, he looked sharp, he was all dressed up for church. We got back in the car and his lips were blue. I looked at him, he said, how you get the heat on in here? I said, what's the matter? I looked over and he had on his good looking leather shoes and no socks. He's about to freeze to death. Paul's cold. He needs a cloak. This world's cold. They need the warm arms of the church. They need you. Make every effort to minister to the least. And number two, make every effort to read the Bible. Notice what he said. Not only bring the cloak, but bring the books, especially the parchments. Now, the parchments, that was the vellum that they used to write the Old Testament on. Paul read the Old Testament and he had left his books, his Bible, with Carpus, and he said, bring me the books and the parchments, the scriptures.
Hey, dear friend, just look at this. If the prisoner Paul was ever a student, how much more do you need to be one? You need to read this book. Get a reading plan. Read it. Find a plan. So how do I find one? Well, it starts in Genesis. You can read straight through, or you can get a plan that goes Old Testament, New Testament. There are many of them out there. Probably if you've got a study Bible, there's a plan over in the front somewhere. You can just check it off and read. Read and heed. Read and heed. So I'm not going to struggle through all that Old Testament. Well, just take the book of John and read it over and over and over. It'll bless your soul. I was in Genesis 7, 8, and 9 this morning. Noah, flood, animals, unclean, clean animals, 150 days, water coming down. Boy, there's 1,000 questions about that. How'd they feed all those animals? How'd they feed themselves? How'd they make it? A lot of answers to that, too, by what God put on that ship. Said, preacher, I don't believe that story. You don't have to believe it. You will believe it one day, but you don't have to believe it today. You get to the other side, you'll believe it. Because the God of the flood will be the God of grace. It's all about the rainbow. It's God's promise. Read it. Make every effort to minister to the least of these. Make every effort to read the Bible. Thirdly, make every effort to love the church. Now, I read verses 9 through 21, and I read 16 names of people from Demas to Claudia. Some would say 17, some would say 18, according to how you read them and who counts, but we know there's either 16, 17, 18 people that are named here. They're all a part of Paul's work, but now there were different stations. In this group, there were some that were deserters, some that were a part of the church, and they left it. They deserted the church. Others were workers. Others were unknown but faithful. Now, those last four, Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia in verse 21. Never heard of them before, never hear of them again. Just listed. We don't know anything about them, where they're from, what they did. Just workers, faithful. Adrian Rogers says that in the church you've got people who make things happen. You've got another group that watch things happen. You've got a third group that don't know what's happening. But we're all the church. The church is the bride of Christ. It's not this building. We're grateful for this building. We wish we had the roof fixed on it. Arguing with the insurance company right now, trying to get all that done. But that's not the church. You the church. You. Us. It's the folks. That's the church. I sent a text to a girl this morning. She's getting married. And I sent her a text. It's a family moved from here up to Tennessee. And I sent a text to her. I said, you're getting married. And I said, I want you to prioritize that you and your husband will make the bride of Christ a priority after you get married. Amen. You grew up at Olive. You've been in a church up there. Now, prioritize the local church. I have people that come and they say, well, I'm just going to be in Pensacola 2 years. Should I join the church? I said, goodness, yes. You know, man, a lot of things can happen in 2 years. You can have 2 kids in 2 years. You can have 3 jobs. You ought to have 1 church. Find it and call it home. No. What do you do to love the church? Well, let me just give you 5 quick things. Number one, you ought to join it. You ought to walk right down here and say, I want to be a member. How do you join the church? You have to be saved and baptized. You saw those 3 people up there this morning. They're saved. We ask them to give their testimony before and then give affirmation that they've been saved. And they said yes, and then they're baptized. Those are the 2 prerequisites for joining the church. You come to Christ, you're saved, and you're baptized. Now, if you've been baptized somewhere else, you don't have to be baptized again here. If you've been baptized by immersion, if you were sprinkled, you have to be baptized by immersion to be a Olive Baptist church. That's the way we receive people. That's what we understand the Bible way of baptism. You ought to join it. If you're a member somewhere else, you ought to put your membership here. You ought to join the church. Secondly, not only should you join it, you ought to love it. You ought to love it. Well, I mean, not the building. I mean, you can love the campus. You got to love the people. You're sitting over here. You got to love this dude over here. That guy next to you is pretty easy to love, but that guy sitting way over yonder, he may be tough. You got to love it. Love the people in the church. By this will they know that you're mine, in that you love one another. Love it. I have to lie to you to tell you some of the church is easier to love than others. Amen? Some of the staff's easier to love than other parts of it. We're all that way. You're not so hot yourself. Can I get a chuckle? Amen. Join it, love it, serve in it. Man, go to work, be an usher, sing in a choir, teach a class. Serve. Pick up trash, serve. Go knock on the door, serve. Go in the hospital, serve. Serve it. You don't serve the bill, you serve the people. See, these ushers coming up and down here wearing masks. You think they like wearing masks? Take up the... No, they hate that. Wearing gloves and all that stuff we have to do. What a great sacrifice those men are making. You do what you need to. And you serve it. Yes, amen. Join it. Love it. Serve it. Support it. Support it with your attendance. Support it with your amens. Support it with your giving. Hey, let me just say, we had four Sundays in December. Now, listen to this. If you're a member, this is going to encourage you. Last year, we had five Sundays in December. I told the folks over there taking care of the money, I said, I'm praying. I didn't tell anybody else. I said, I'm just praying. I want you to keep me up. I'm praying that we have $1 million come through here in the four Sundays of December. I said, I don't mean tithe and offering. We might make that, but that, Lottie Moon Christmas offering, what we do with the offering here, building, everything. I was here December 31 till 5 o'clock. Money always comes in last day. We are just a little under 1.2 million, that's just for tithe and offering in four Sundays. The mail comes in tomorrow, we go over it. There'll be postmarked last week. Now that may not encourage you, but let me tell you, it encourages this preacher. Because 40% of the church not even coming. Thank God for the faithfulness of people online mailing it in, giving it. One guy sent me a text and he brought a wad of envelopes. He said, this is from my mother, she's a widow. She hadn't been here all year, and she'd just been stacking up her giving envelopes over here once a month. Said, Pastor, she heard you online last week and said, take these down there. The preacher needs this in before the end of the year. And he brought it, and he said, here's the widow's mite. It wasn't a lot. I mean, I didn't see it, but he said, here's the widow's mite. I was waiting. I got a couple of three pretty good-sized checks. Said, what's big? Well, one of them was larger than what many people in his church make. You're in gift. It takes the widow's mite and it takes the business person's overflow and everything in between, and we do what God's called us to do. God's called you. Just be a tither. Just give unto the Lord. And if you don't want that stimulus check, I got you covered, all right? You need to support the local church, whether it's the widow's mite or the businessman's overflow and everything in between. Join it, love it, serve in it, support it. Listen to me now. Unify it. You look in this text. Alexander, verse 14, did me much harm. God will take care of him. I don't have to mess with him. Be on guard against him. Watch out, Timothy. He's a dog. He viciously opposed our teaching. Watch out. Oh, the people of all stripes come into the church. We're to love one another, but we must unify the church because it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about His name. And you want to give the church a black eye, just have a church fuss and a fight. The community will know about it before you get home. You stand for truth, and when you don't get your way, you love in Jesus' name. You come stay here very long, you'll get your feelings hurt. It'll happen. I've been here 30 years. I've been busted up and bruised a little bit myself. I stood here and the old boy stood up in the back and said, I don't know how much we're paying you, but it's too much. That was just the start of his speech. A few months later, he came walking down this aisle and threw his arms around my neck and put his head over on my shoulder and said, Pastor, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Amen. But we didn't cuss and fuss at each other. Just went on together till God melted our hearts. You better do it before winter. Because it can get too late. Urge it now. Make every effort, minister to the least of these. Make every effort to read your Bible. Make every effort to love the church. And then number four, make every effort to win the lost. Every effort. Notice what Paul said to Timothy. He said in verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me when nobody else would stand with me. I was all by myself. Why did he give me strength? So that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and all the Gentiles might hear. So that the lost, the Gentile, could hear the gospel. Hear me. Here's the gospel. The gospel is this. God loves us. He gave His life for us. Jesus lived and died for you. The gospel's in that window. You can see it right there. We put it there for it. The cross is where Jesus died. The man over here is the man who believed. The man over here is the malefactor who did not believe. The shadowy cross died and went to hell. The one in the shaft of light went by grace to heaven. You are one of those two crosses on either side. Which one are you? You're one. Jesus in the middle, a believer and an unbeliever. There's 1,000 other points of light in that window, but right at the center is the gospel. Whosoever will, let him come. And he should come now because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, the acceptable time, I listened to you and on that day of salvation helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now, today is the day of salvation. You should believe today, not tomorrow, not next week. You should believe today. Amen. Today. Today. You're in this room. You're online. Don't wait. Today. Today. Before winter comes and you can't get there today. Paul said to the church at Rome, chapter 13, verse 11, do this knowing the time that it's already the hour for you to awaken out of sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. He's speaking about the second coming there, the salvation's come, but now is the acceptable time. This is the day. Wake up! Believe! Do it now. Do it now. I share about him from time to time. He was 3 years younger than me, and he was like the brother I never had, Eddie Ashari, and I love him, and preached his funeral after God saved him out of Rackers Island prison, and he came here, and we baptized him, and we let him work on the maintenance team, and he wasn't good at it, and the reason he wasn't good at it, he kept sharing the gospel with everybody walking in, and thought, well, we got you in the wrong place. But before I got him moved to another place, it was the bathroom right across from the main office one day. I heard him fussing and fuming. And I went, I said, what are you doing? He said, look at this. I said, boy, you made a mess. He said, I didn't do it. He said, two of those middle school boys, I'm sure, came in here and they stuffed the toilet paper down in and they flushed it and it ran over everywhere. Now I got to clean it up. I said, you're right on one of those two accounts. I don't know if you're right about the middle school boys, but you got to clean it up. And he did. I said, all right, you got, let's go find him. He said, no. He said, preacher, you never been a con, have you? I said, well, no. He said, listen to me. He said, just stand right here by the door. He said, they'll be back. I said, what do you mean they'll be back? Every con comes back. They can't stand it. They have to come see what they did. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, just hang on. I stood there, and a minute, two middle school boys walked around the corner. Oh, Eddie reached out there and grabbed one of them, and he said, what are you doing? He said, I didn't mean to. He made me do it. I did it. It was my fault. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I looked at Double E. I said, let's just whip her tail right here. We won't even tell her mom and daddy. We'll just whip her tail right here. He said, preacher. He took him two big old arms and put around him boys. He said, boys, you ought not done that. They said, we know. He said, let me tell you what Jesus did for me when I was running numbers and dope on the streets of New York and I got caught. And I was an addict and a crook. He said, you start just like this. You wind up in a jail. He said, the same way Jesus put his arms around me. He said, I'm putting my arms around you. I'm standing over there saying, we ought to whip their butt. We ought to whip their butt. And I know I shouldn't have said that word, but I'm just telling you that's what I said. He said, no, preacher. He said, there's a place and a time for parents to deal with that. But he said, our deal is the gospel. And we got to teach these boys that the same Jesus that saved me out of prison is the Jesus that'll save them and keep them from that life of crime. Amen. I didn't get that in a seminary class. I got that in a Baptist bathroom where the glory of God sat down. And it came before winter. It came at the right time. For some of you, the hour's getting late. God's been calling. You don't know He's going to call again. You say, preacher, I'm not old. That had everything to do with it. God calls and we send away our day of grace. If He calls you, you ought to come today. You watching online, sitting at home, you ought to come today to Christ. Call on Him. Just a minute, I want you to get your phone. I want you to put that number, 94,000, down there. Just type it in and text to that number the word Savior and we'll reach back to you. We'll love on you, help you. If you're in this room, you've never believed. I want you to believe today. Amen. If you call on Him, He'll save your soul. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to all that can. We're going to slide out on our knees. Not yet, but in just a minute. I'm going to kneel right here, and I'm going to ask you where you are in your pew. That you say, preacher, I can't do it. My legs won't. That's okay. Then you just lean over on that cap rail in front of you and make that an altar. But if you physically can do it, I think this first day of the year, this is where we need to get. Put the church on its knees and say, Lord, your will be done. So if you're able, just slip out on your knees right now. I'm going to kneel right here. If you're not a Christian or you're not sure, right now, just tell the Lord, Father, I'm a sinner. Save me. If you'll pray those words to Him, He'll save you right now. That's all you got to do. Lord, save me. Just call on His name. If you're not saved, do it right now. Just call on Him. Say, Lord, save me. Tell Him you'll do what He asks you to do. If you are a Christian, recommit yourself. Resurrender. Refocus, refire. And say, Lord, your will be done in my life this year, this day, this hour, this minute. Father, I pray for the church called Olive. Lord, send revival among us. Move, I pray, oh God. Shake us up, stir us up before winter comes. Help us do what we're called to do before it's too late to do it. Lord, for our friends that are praying to be saved now, we pray you'll help us love them, disciple them, encourage them, baptize them, and train them up in the way they ought to go. Father, have your way in my life. Holy Spirit, I pledge to obey. In Jesus' name. Now you're on your knees. Tell the Lord this, Holy Spirit, I will obey you. Make that your prayer right now. Holy Spirit, I will obey you. Whatever God calls you to do this moment, this year, Holy Spirit, I will obey you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you stand, as you look right here at the front, if you've asked Christ to save you in this service, I'm going to be standing right here at this table. I want you to come tell me you got saved today. If you're here and you ought to join this church, I want you to come to this table, and we're going to help you right here today. So I invite you to come. Say yes to Christ. Yes to his church, and come before winter.